This is the discussion call where you can express your views on any topic of your choice. This is an open forum, and the views expressed by the speakers here may or may not necessarily represent the views of the National Liberty Alliance. It is essentially the people's hour. Today is the 2nd of August, Thursday, the 2nd of August, and it is 1902. And I leave it up to you guys. Whoever wants the floor, go ahead.
So, go ahead, Chris. I'll finish what you're saying.
Okay. Hi. I was in court today, and they wanted to, again, take my property. And as a matter of fact, I was helping another family out because they took the landlord's, his tenant, and they evicted his tenant. And so I ran over there, and we had to call the police, call the mayor, and but see, the whole city, our mayor, he had just gotten out of jail, and him and his whole family, they're all attorneys. And, you know, it was a very sad situation because the tenant, he just got out of the hospital, and also his son. So we're trying to find a place for him, and it was very disturbing. I was at City Hall trying to get all this other stuff taken care of because the landlord has the warranty deed, and the things have been fraudulently changed, and they've been perpetrating the fraud. And for my case, I was in the courtroom today, which I had filed. I'm in the appellate court, and they wrote me off as a serial bankruptcy fraud, and they prohibit me forever filing any kind of appeal or motion on my property, which I said that's unconstitutional. In other words, I have to stand there and let them do what they want to do to me without my rights. So I said, under what book and ruling and section act is that? I said, there's no such of a law. And I asked them for proof of claim. I said, for the past 4 years, I've been in this courtroom, and I said, I've been asking you for the contract. When did I sign a contract, and show me proof of claim that I had taken mortgage out with you? They have not prevailed nothing to this very day. Then they said, oh, I was wasting their time, and I'm trying to stall, and they want to move this foreclosure, and I had plenty of time to move out my house, whatever. And I said, why do I have to move out my house when you are the ones who came and attacked me? And 3 years after my house was paid off, you, in turn, put the name on my property starting November 7th, and then a week later, you put GE's name on there the 13th, and then the following week, you try to put me in foreclosure, you know, which that was totally illegal in what you did. And I asked you to show me the proof of claim. Could you show me the contract? Who signed my name? I said, then I put an affidavit on my deed, and that everything went back in my name, the warranty. I said, and I have life use, my warranty. I have the grantee. And that was a quick claim, so I have life use for 100 years, and I got my grandchildren on there for the next 500 years. I said, so who's going to sit there and sign my name? And I also got my land. I patent my land. So I said, I got the volume and page to every single thing on my property. Who is going to sign my name off of that? I said, Your Honor, you told me I used up my life use, and I'm out, and you're going to sell my property. I said, you are under oath and bond. And I said, and also, you also mentioned that you were retired, you know. So do you still have an oath and bond? I said, I asked you for the proof of claim. I said, unfortunately, I've been treated. I said, all my rights have been totally violated. I said, me being here in the court, you are the judge and the jury, and we have no say-so over anything. Yet I have to bring in proof time after time who I am, but not one of you has brought any kind of proof that you have you know, that I owe you anything. I said, isn't that illegal and unconstitutional? So I said, and by the way, anything over $20, I can have a common law jury, and you will not allow that. You said you are the judge, the jury, and that's committing treason because we're not getting a fair trial. I said, I've been in this court for 4 years, and I've seen no one have a fair trial here. And what was there was another thing. But and then I said, oh, and by the way, we found out any time you bring a case to court, they have a year and a half to prove that there is a legitimate case. I said, for the past 4 years, you have not yet gave me one, you have not given me not one letter or answered any proof of claim, no due process, no contract, and I also sent you the subrogation, each and every one of you, and not one of you's answered, but yet I have to always answer you. You were in default 3 to 4 times. I have the letters and the documents, and you're still moving forward. So that's where I basically stand right now. You know, so he said he'll let me know by mail, but they were like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, the catch with that trial by jury, you know, for anything over $20, the catch is that dollars are not what they meant, you know, back in 1791 when the amendments were added there. Because then, you know, up until 1965, it was, you know, gold and silver. Even when gold was taken out, we could still count on silver, $20 worth of silver, which is the constitutional money that that amendment was set on. So they're not telling all when they're just saying, you know, just shrugging us off. There's a reason behind it. And for me, I think it's important, for me anyway, to look for the reason behind it. What is it they're relying on that the people don't know, that they know, that they are still within their legal bounds to do what they're doing? You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we don't even have sheriffs here. The marshals.
Right. You have the marshals, right, in Connecticut. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Also, I remember one thing, even in high school, an attorney is not supposed to be making any laws. They're, and what is it, almost they said 48% of the people in Congress and all, they're all attorneys. I think we got like 33,000 attorneys or something like that here in Connecticut. And we're the third smallest state in the United States.
Sure, and if you look online, you'll see, if you look online for the Uniform Law Commission, and the Uniform Law Commission has been in operation since 1892, and what they do is they present legislation to be passed in all the states so that the laws are uniform. And in order to be a part of the Uniform Law Commission, one has to be a member of the bar. So mm-hmm. This has been going on since 1892. And, you know, get it out there that this has been going on for a long time. It's a criminal enterprise whose, you know, God is mammon. And, you know, it's all about money.
And that's what I did say. I said, as a matter of fact, this is RICO.
Yes, their addiction.
And
a criminal
and
enterprise.
I did mention it. And so when she came back to rebuttal on me, that's when I put it all out there. And I see I'm very good with dates, you know. And, you know, I breathed. I looked straight in his eyes, and I was cordial, you know. And I kept on saying, I kept on praying to Jehovah, fear no man. I said, Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, please be with me, and please place your Holy Spirit on me. I was very cordial. I was poised, you know, and, you know, I gave him that respect. And as I said, he even got kinder today for some reason. But as I said, when they bought that person from the GE Credit Union Bank, because she called me because she wanted to settle. And so what she said, and so she left it on my machine. So the attorney said, oh, yes, Mrs. whatever, Garbaugh, she did reach out to Mrs. Mack, and she wanted to settle with her and stuff. I said, I never did. I said, she called, and I could not talk to her at the time. And I asked her to leave a message on my phone, and that's what she did. And I have that here. You know, because, as I said, you don't talk to no one on the phone. And she tried to act like we had a conversation. I said, no, we did not have a conversation. She introduced herself to me, and that was that. And I said, I couldn't talk at that time. You know, but they Mrs. Grable, she had nothing basically to say. She didn't offer me anything. She didn't try to make any kind of arrangements right there in the public, you know. And I had my witnesses, so we were all there. She never said a word. And the only thing I asked her, I said, can I please see the contract from the GE Federal Credit Union?
The original contract, yeah.
Right. And we never got none of that. But the reason why I said what I did say, too, and like I told them, they said, well, you and I said, no. I said, because what she had presented her case, I said at that last minute, because I had all my stuff, and all of a sudden they threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. And I said, well, wait a second, I got a rebuttal and come back at everything she said. So this way, it's all in the transcript. So that's, you know. But that's it.
Yeah. Wow.
But I'll let you know, and I send all the paperwork. You know, and like I told everybody, make sure anything you do, make sure you try to do a little daily journal, and make sure you have you get a sworn notarized affidavit on it.
Yeah. I want to ensure, Crystal, while you're at a pause here, that anybody, this is an open forum, and anybody can talk anytime they like and change the subject or whatever. And Crystal, I hope you understand that and that I didn't upset you by going in here right now. So I'll just make that note.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. So.
But I do want to share something with you. I had to go for my physical yesterday because I was fighting with cancer also. And I've lost over 100 and something pounds, which I need to lose, and I still need more to lose. But I was so pleased when I went for my physical, and my pressure was totally normal. One was 120 over 80, and my sugar was down to 98. And what I've been doing also is, like, I'm doing the JC Tonic and the Black Seed Oil. And I've been doing that. I get the baking soda from that Whole Food which and the lemon, because that fights cancer cells from growing in your body, because cancer is a fungus. So those are good little helpful things that I've been doing, and I'm very happy to say that I was really happy with my results yesterday. You know, that lemon water and stuff like that, and the if you have a whole food in your area, because the baking soda does not have no aluminum in it, and it's only 99 cents. And that's... Does anybody else have any things on health or whatever?
Well, like I say, it's a free and open forum. Anybody can talk that wants to talk. So usually we run out of time and people are talking, and we can't get everybody in that wanted to talk. So I'm a little surprised that nobody wants to jump in and pursue a subject.
I can speak on crystal. More I learn, I think I'm more confused I am on this, how to behave in the court. This is my comment.
How to behave in the court?
No.
Is that what you asked?
No, I am not. I make the comment. I am not asking. We learn from National Liberty Alliance, then common lawyer, and more we learning that stuff, I am more confused, because it seems to me that we do not have, we still don't know how the courts operate, how the judges, what judges taking into consideration, like in UK, see almost everybody else. This is my comment.
Well, something else, President Trump put an executive order from December 21st, 2017, and I guess it was amended this June 18th of 2018. Any legal documents that come out have to be signed, and a lot of our legal documents, nobody signed anything, you know?
Well, and that's not because what you mentioned. That's always like that. Somebody has to testify that with a signature.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I got a lot of them that came back and nothing was signed. Even today, a piece of mail came from the court, was not signed.
Yeah, they don't want to put their names on there. They might. You might find a way to sue them.
Okay.
The other aspect is that as long as you're in a statutory court and it's a corporate court, the sheriff, right now we don't have a sheriff that's effective anywhere. We got some that are learning, but without some kind of force, government is force, and they think that because they are the judiciary, they have the force. And they do, because they got a bailiff right there. I don't know, do they have bailiffs in Connecticut?
Yes, we do. They're private.
A private bailiff, oh boy.
Well, you know,
well,
they all have their own businesses. You're talking about like the bondsman, the bailsman?
No, the bailiff is supposed to be the law, the representative of the law in the court, and he's actually supposed to be watching out for just such a thing, that the judge is not performing properly or the prosecuting attorney is not following. If you just had a sheriff right there in court, he could have heard all of this and taken all those people to jail.
Wow.
But but you don't have a sheriff. And
yeah, no.
Connecticut doesn't have a sheriff. They want marshals. And
yeah.
They're supposed to be looking out for our rights. Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone in the quorum here. But they're supposed, the sheriff and the sheriff's office usually functions as the bailiff in a county. They're supposed to be watching after our rights. Your rights are getting stomped on.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried to bring an officer of the law in with you?
Yeah, there are some retired officers that have been going to court. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. It's a little bit of everybody that's going in there. There's no exception to they treat everybody terrible.
Yeah, and that's got to stop.
And see, it's like, what floor is it? It's the sixth floor. All the attorneys are up there, and they're, like, making deals. And it's just the attorneys and the judges, and they're settling everybody's case or whatever the case is. And I'm like, isn't this something? You know? I would like to be a fly on the wall and see how much money they make daily off of stealing people's property, businesses, and all that.
Oh, they make tons, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, Crystal, if you continue to hold on and keep working at them, keep fighting them, and I know it's hard, you could be a landmark case.
Well, we got as I said, we're building up a team, and like as I said, it was on TV, News 12. And Richard Blumenthal, we were all on there last week, the ones that were in court. So we pulled that off, and I guess they want to do a follow-up. And I would like to get either, you know, some from, if you're nearby, to come up to Connecticut. Or maybe we can meet, you know, midway.
Well, I live in Colorado, but I hope you're Blumenthal, I saw on a little clip today, and he was saying, oh, what Trump has done with this tweet, saying, hey, you know, it should be wrapped up, this investigation, there's nothing there. Nobody's ever found anything. It's been too long. It needs to be wrapped up. He says, that's intent to obstruct justice. And it was Blumenthal. Yeah, he said that. I heard him.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I was with him last. As a matter of fact, you can see it because I guess that you could go on YouTube on the website and you'll see us all on there. You know.
Okay.
But he, you know, and we put him right to the spot. Like, what about these illegal foreclosures and this and that?
Oh, know? Well, okay. How do I find that spot on YouTube?
What is it? Hold on 1 second. I think it's called News 12. Hold on, I'll tell you exactly. I'll take you the. It's News 12 Connecticut.
My name is Olivia.
And it's N12 Channel 12. And it was from. They ran it this last Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. They ran that for 3 days.
Wow.
For the illegal foreclosures. Oh, yeah. Because New York picks up the stations, too. So we got a lot of calls. So now other stations, I guess they want to pick it up because, you know. And they were, how did you? I said, well, you need to go into NLA. Learn that. You know, today my whole day went because of the person. I've been helping them out with these the foreclosures, so we're trying to find them a place. And I mean, it was just heartbreaking what they're doing to people.
Well, the problem is, I would say, not addressed when the judge behave. Badly. Constitution says the judge is only the judge during good behavior. And what is the remedy
Oh, that's
and
right.
Where to remedy when he behave not good. What you do, you write the affidavit at him. National Liberty Alliance never touched this subject.
Okay.
Because they are untouchable, because as we know, 50% or 60% representative congressmen are lawyers, etc., etc. But this issue never been raised according to my memory. Like for example, Crystal is saying, she met this judge over and over, and he always behaved bad. That's
and he's retired.
Thing. Well, that doesn't matter. You know, he's retired, not that he's still there. This
right.
is not the
but
issue,
you know what?
He's retired or not. Where
but,
to put the claim at him to higher authority? How to put the claim, what he's doing, what place to put the claim on him, either to the Supreme Court of Connecticut or the judiciary in the Senate and the House? Nobody ever talk on this issue because they don't feel a heat. Judges does not feel the heat. Some of them are elected, some of them are nominated, and this is the biggest issue. For me, if I testify when the judge behave bad in the courts are our courts. Most of them say, oh, this is my court. No, it's not true. It's people's. Everything belongs to the people. They our, they our servants. And there is no remedy for bad behavior. At least I don't know where to address those remedy and who will listen to those objections on their behavior.
Well, you know what I notice now that you brought that up, there is a lot of older judges, but this one here, he's the worst. I mean, he got the worst reputation, and everybody here, I mean, I wrote up a grievance. They sent it back, said it was insufficient. Everybody's been writing up grievances, and that's another thing. So we got to sit down, and we got to put a good, tight grievance together because, it was just, you know, because so many people are dealing with the same issues with this particular judge. But then somebody, I don't know, maybe you might know this answer. When a judge is retired, do they have an oath and bond? And are they still insured? Because I remember this was back in the 80s. There was a case up here in Danbury, Connecticut. And it was the probate judge. And what had happened, I believe he was over like, I don't know, $10, $15 million worth of estates in the probate judge. Well, come to find out, he had a gambling problem, and I guess in Atlantic City and Vegas, what have you, and blew the people's money. He ended up committing suicide. And I remember they said, oh, my God, they said, well, the people were like, well, what about our estates? What about the money or whatever? And it wasn't insured. So I was just wondering if anybody knows if a judge is retired and their oath and bond, is it still in place? Are they insured?
I can only tell you this, that in Florida, Secretary of State is responsible for all oaths. I'm not saying the judges, but probably the judges as well. I remember 15 years ago, there was a case here when somebody asked the judge who was presiding over lady who was accused of practicing the law without the license. Somebody brought up, does he have a license? So someone figured out, prove he didn't have it. So presumably there is the statute which says if you don't take the oath, you cannot collect your first paycheck. This judge did not, there was the county judge, this judge did not have the oath. When this issue was raised, like a week later, he took the oath because people check by the dates. So what I would say, because the system never been contested, they just don't care. And, you know, I wouldn't bring the issue he's retired or not. He's still doing the job. This is not an issue at a time.
No, he's not doing this. He's destroying people's lives. He's not even, he doesn't give up. Nobody has a chance to even talk.
You're changing
everything
the subject.
Is about him. I'm sorry?
If I may.
You're changing the subject.
If I may.
Go ahead.
If he is bonded, he is insured. In other words, if he's still practicing, even retired, if he has a bond, he is insured. The bond is the insurance. Crystal, let me suggest something to you.
Mm-hmm.
You ever try, and I'm just doing it myself, notice of action to sheriff, blah, 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 blah. Put the sheriff on the spot. He's top law in your state, your county.
There's no sheriff.
The spot.
No, but
sheriff
we don't
in
have
Connecticut. It.
We
Connecticut.
What do you have? You
Marshall.
Have marshals?
Yeah,
marshals are on federal level.
Yeah,
that's
but
fine.
They're under the judge.
No. No, they are not. No.
They don't
they
know
separate.
Anything. Okay.
They are separate. They are what's called the fourth action, but not owing to the Constitution. Okay? I just put my sheriff on notice. Okay? And it just says the enclosed document was recorded today, the 12th of July, 2018, at the Van Buren County Registers of Deeds. Now, when I recorded that at the Register of Deeds now is in the fix because he turns the corporate key to his office, just like the sheriff. What I'm getting around to, in the end, all of them in the county, elected or appointed, are going to have to justify why they are violating their oath of office by entering a corporate office. Okay? Think about it a little bit.
Okay.
You can put your U.S. Marshals on the spot. They are, in essence, federal level, where the sheriff, in essence, is state level or county. But the sheriff can also, if a fed comes into his county, he can throw them in the clink.
I'll tell you one thing. The sheriffs, the marshals, are not nice to the people. They are. They like to kiss up to the judges. And also, the clerk. The chief clerk, I found out, is an attorney. Hello?
Hi there.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, that is so. And he... Look, I guess the way they have it in this court, the chief clerk is like under the judge?
No. The chief clerk has no judicial power, period.
But he's an attorney.
The chief clerk, all the clerk is supposed to do is record what's put before him or her. They have no judicial power. Actually, you can throw the whole stinking mess into the 11th Amendment. If you want to file 11th Amendment action against all of them, throw them all in there. Tell them they owe the public trust so much money.
The 11th Amendment.
Mm-hmm. I haven't got time to get into it tonight because I'm working on another case. But I would start... You're going to find, you say you don't have sheriffs. Well, you got a county, haven't you? What's the name of your county in Connecticut?
Fairfield. There's
And who did away with the sheriff?
Seven or 11 counties in the state.
So you're, Connecticut, that's a commonwealth? Is Connecticut a commonwealth?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Really, it don't matter. Who did away with the sheriffs? How was that action performed?
Well, I was unaware of it until I started learning with NLA.
Okay.
And with the sheriffs, and they said, oh, no, there's no sheriffs. We have marshals. Well, I found out now we got like maybe 5 or 6 sheriffs, but they don't know their job. As a matter of fact, I met one this week, and he said he's been a sheriff for how many years? 20 years.
Okay.
You know, but he really doesn't know his job neither. And I want to, when I get the book, because I've been seeing this gentleman in the courtroom, and he's, you know, when I'm doing the copies and stuff, he seems somewhat cordial, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not aware of his position or his title. So.
That's interesting. Yes.
Just so you know. In Wikipedia here, I see Connecticut abolished county sheriffs in 2000 by Public Act 00-01. All civil process serving deputies were sworn in as state marshals, and criminal special deputies were sworn in as judicial marshals. Constables remain municipal officers governed by their respective town or city. A few towns have local sheriffs that primarily perform process serving duties and may act as a sergeant of at arms for town meetings.
Yeah, well,
and
okay.
It, there's
public
one more paragraph,
Act,
but I won't read it.
Public
Act 00-01.
Okay, that was done by the state legislation.
Yes.
Then they changed the Constitution of Connecticut. Was there a referendum of it?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. I'll make you bet there wasn't. So are you sure it's a law? I don't think it is.
I don't think so neither. Because there was an incident further north our way, and I guess the sheriff was out of his jurisdiction, and
mm-hmm.
I guess some of the older people from the that was on the law department said that they were out of their jurisdiction, and it was illegal what he was doing. But I don't know. As I said, I'm learning through.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. No, I think Terry, I'm sure Terry's on here. You have Crystal's email and all that?
I think I got her phone number.
Right, you got my number.
Is it the 111 number?
Yeah, right.
Okay, right, okay. Yeah, I got her phone number. I can pass that to you if it's okay with you, Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got, I'll get into it tomorrow, but I'll send Crystal some copies. I'll send Crystal some copies of what I just bought. You know, the sad part of this whole thing is, I appeared before our city council, open meeting act here, and before the city council. City council, we have 3 wards, two council persons per ward, mayor, weak mayor, strong council, with a city manager and an assistant city manager. The quick rundown is this. Every meeting, the chief of police is there. There is no sheriff's deputy there. I want to know why, but there isn't. The chief of police, all the chief of police anymore is the code enforcement officer, basically with no power. And then you have the new assistant city manager happens to be a bar attorney, which is very interesting. So now we got the bar interjecting itself into the council proceedings of a city. even though the city is incorporated, the county is incorporated, and the state is incorporated. So what do you have? You have a group of people. None of them know the law. I presented a five-minute deal. Matter of fact, if you go into NLA, put my name in there. I have an old sheriff's page running, and it'll show a picture of me with just Robert alongside, proper grammar. Just punch on that picture, and you'll have the five-minute video. And under YouTube, and these people, none of them have any idea about what the law is, and they surely don't know what their oath of office is, because they don't even know that they're committing treason by taking an oath of office to a corporate office, oath to the Constitution.
Can I read that second paragraph? Because that will confirm your point here. This is the second paragraph on Wikipedia about sheriffs in Connecticut. Prior to the abolition of county sheriffs in 2000, duties of sheriffs in Connecticut were limited to process-serving court bailiffs and executing search and arrest warrants. Other law enforcement duties such as emergency response, highway patrol, traffic enforcement, and maintaining public order were left to municipal police departments or constables or the Connecticut State Police in places where no local police agency exists. They didn't even know what to do with the sheriff back then. And I think that we have other states that will try and follow Connecticut if we don't get right on top of this.
Well, yes. If you happen to be a state and happen to be fortunate enough to have the old coroner system left. The coroner actually, not a medical examiner like we've been changed here in Michigan to, which has no power. The old coroner actually had more power than the sheriff. The reason being he also controlled the finances of the county. Now do you see why they got rid of the coroner?
Right.
There's
okay.
There's a few states that still has a coroner. If you have one, you're very fortunate. Start pushing your coroner to control the finances of the county. Okay.
Yeah.
I wish we had one back.
You made something very clear in my mind too that I forgot to mention. There's 169 cities and towns in the state of Connecticut, which some of the towns, they might even have like 3,000 to 4,000. So, therefore, it's governed. They don't have their police department. They have the state police. And in those small towns, it might just be the sheriff that might be running it. You know?
Sheriff should be running it.
Because what is it? It's the state police, and I'm just saying. I don't recall seeing any sheriff car.
State police don't have that much power. In actuality, all they are is a state code enforcement officer, the same as a chief of police. Okay. Your state police in Michigan, anyhow, originally started out as protective service for the governor of the state, okay? Oh, and the governor thought they did such a good job, they named them the state police and gave them powers that really they do not have, okay? The sheriff of every county in the state of Michigan usurps the state police, okay? Then when you get into the federal level, then it converts handily in joint to the U.S. Marshals and the sheriff. And like I say, if you're fortunate enough to have the coroner still effective rather than the medical examiner, then you have a third agency that is power. but most of those have been done away with. But the most power in any county, on the county level, is the sheriff, bar none. He can form a militia. He can also order up posse comitatus. He can also call a grand jury. He can also call the petite jury. He has power. He is top paw. Get into Williams, U.S., and in there you'll find Antonio Scalia classifies the sheriff as a power outside of the three branches of government, in essence, the fourth power. So you get into all that, and you start to see a better picture of things. And that's why I've recently started just hanging everything on the sheriff. Matter of fact, I made the statement I'm going to let my sheriff do my dirty work, and he's not going to like it because he's the sheriff. But too bad. Don't take an oath to an office if you plan on being subversive to it, because with what's going on in this country right now, they're going to have to make their atonement, either here or up above. It don't matter. They're still going to have to account for their actions.
Okay.
So, all right. I get over here tomorrow. I'll get up with Terry. I've got a bunch of junk going on tomorrow, but I'll make time to get up with Terry.
Well, I thank you for all, you know.
Yep, no problem.
You know, because it's all been very, very helpful. And as I said, it was very frightening. And just going in there, and I tell you, I met so many wonderful people in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like everybody was just so nervous, and people were passing out, having heart attacks. It was just awful. And I've been just there trying to console people and stuff. And so then we started becoming very close. And when they go to court, so I'm there. I know everybody in there. They all know me. And it's just like, you know, I just try to be the voice of reason and just try to keep their heads together. They go, well, you don't understand what we're going through. I said, what do you think we're here for? Having a kumbaya? We're all here for the same thing.
Right. Yeah, we're all getting handed the wrong platter. So, yeah.
But it was funny because so many people keep a watch when I'm on the docket, and they're there.
You got
to
your
see
following.
Because,
that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
very good.
And we
all
just
right.
try to help each other.
Well,
okay.
That's how it all starts. That's a good start. Nothing matter with that. It'll justify in the end. It'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Terry, I'll ease some of this stuff to you that I've just started to enter into the court system. So.
Okay, thank you.
Pass it on.
I appreciate it.
You bet. Okay, I got to sign off. I'll catch you all later.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll see you later.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Hey, Crystal, I'm still following that body politic and corporate, and are you familiar with Connecticut Innovations in Corporate?
No.
Incorporated?
Mm-mm.
Okay. This is under Connecticut General Statutes, Chapter 581, Sections 32 to 35. And it says, there is hereby created a body politic and corporate to be known as, quote, Connecticut Innovations Incorporated, end quote. Such corporation is constituted a public instrumentality and political subdivision of the state, and the exercise by the corporation of the powers conferred in this chapter shall be deemed to be held to be the performance of essential public and governmental function. So your state has been outsourced. Connecticut Innovations Incorporated shall not be construed to be a department, institution, or agency of the state. Totally separate. but yet a body politic and corporate. And this goes along with Article 1, Section 2 of the Connecticut Constitution that reads pretty much like Pennsylvania's, that all political power is in the people. So there you go. There's a discrepancy right there that there should be no other body politic except the people. Yes, according to their constitution. So this is totally against the constitution for Connecticut, you know, their laws. You can mm-hmm. bring that up, you know, as far as possibly, you know, if you feel comfortable doing it. I'm just bringing it to your attention. But Connecticut General Statutes, Chapter 581, Sections 32 to 35. Okay?
Wait a minute. Let me write that down. It's Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Connecticut General?
Connecticut General. Yeah, General Statutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Chapter 581.
581.
Sections 32 to 35.
Section 31 to 35.
32.
Okay.
32
oh,
to 34.
32 to 35.
Did I say 30? Yeah, 32 to 35. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. All righty.
Okay. Yeah, just, you know, something else to draw from. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it's all learning. And it feels like I'm back in school again. I remember we had to learn the Constitution, and we had to learn the that was all back in the 70s, and it's like, wow. You know, but some things are beginning to sink in, what we learned. And it's good, it's, you know. It's
right.
Teaching each other and sharing whatever we're learning.
Exactly,
right.
And we can all learn from each other, definitely, at least
right,
body.
Because it was just like, as I said, the $20, you could have a common law jury.
Mm-hmm.
Any case is supposed to be a year and a half. You know, otherwise it's defaulted and it'd be dismissed. And when she sat there and she started rumbling, she gave herself away on that one. Everybody looked at each other.
And the bottom line, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, but the thing is the bottom line is that our ancestors came over here. I don't know where yours came from or if they were already here, but, you know, it was our good faith and credit, and what we bargained for, our ancestors bargained for, was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well,
mm-hmm.
When Article 10, or Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution was breached because they took silver out of the coin, Article 1, Section 10 says something to the effect that only silver and gold will be used as tender payment of debt. There shall be no ex post facto laws, and no bills of attainder, and no titles of nobility, right? So we have esquires, and we have, you know, that's a title of nobility, and we have the silver was taken out of the coin, so they're getting paid with a foreign coin even to adjudicate these. You know, we're an occupied nation. If they're accepting foreign coin in order to do what they're doing, what's wrong with this picture? So
yeah.
They have breached their contract with our ancestors and us. They have us believing in these, you know, fables that they're making up for compliance purposes. And that really all goes to the 13th Amendment with Reconstruction. Why would we have to reconstruct a nation that was conceived in liberty? Like Lincoln said, you know, that doesn't make sense at all. If we were conceived in liberty, we're something new, right?
Right.
The nation. So, you know, the 13th Amendment reads, there shall be no involuntary servitude, comma, except as duly convicted of a crime, well, who's making the laws to duly convict us of a crime? The reconstructed political bands that were dissolved in 1776 with that first paragraph Declaration of Independence. So, anyway. The thing is that these are adhesive and unconscionable contracts, and they have breached the contract since they breached the contract, and that is Article 1, Section 10, that our ancestors made, when for them and their posterity. And that's where it comes in, Terry, about the sleight of hand and the pen, saying that states is now defined as nobility, and Webster's 1828, and Johnson's 1830, and Johnson's 1785 dictionary. And we, the people, someone's private trust of the united nobility of America, in order to form a more perfect union for ourselves and our posterity, do hereby ordain this Constitution for the united nobility of America. Anyway.
I now feel dirty. I'm going to have to go take a shower. I feel like I've been trolled.
And another thing, too, with all these fires, how are you making out there in Colorado? Because I know there's a lot of fires going on out there in the weather.
California's got a lot worse than we got. We do have some fires. I don't know what the status of them are. It's hazy here. You can't see the mountains beyond about the first mountain or two right behind the Hogback. I went and climbed up to Crater Lake yesterday, up to 10,600 feet there above
Wow. The
portal of Moffett Tunnel. So, lots of fun.
Wow!
Oh my God,
that's beautiful from the air too, the Crater Lake. Yeah.
Well,
it's,
my prayers are with each and every one. I tell you. Yeah, that's horrible. And as I said, they're talking about with the premiums and all the loss of lives. Oh, it's just so awful, And they believe those fires are being set out there. It's just so crazy what's happening. But it's just like another thing, even like with the insurances and stuff. Whenever you see the worldwide disasters, how our insurance policies will double for house insurance, cars insurance, and all that. Which you almost could see them getting ready to belly up because there's no way they can have that kind of money to pay for all these losses.
Okay, does anybody else want to bring anything else up? We've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I heard the Ford announce offshoring the production of Ford Focus to China. Anybody heard about that?
The what?
Ford Automobile Company announced they are offshoring the production of Ford Focus to China.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, Paul Craig Roberts wrote today on his website.
But what does that mean?
Less jobs.
Oh, less jobs. Okay.
It's going to be produced somewhere else, not here.
Okay. Well. Well, I'm going to say goodnight.
Okay, thank you, Crystal.
And thank you. I'll speak to you next week. Good night.
Good night, Crystal.
Good night.
Good night, Terry.
Have a good one, Nikki. Thank you.
Dobre noc.
Good night. Good night.